I'd like to tell you, when you are entering into a business, that everyone determines what kind of product he or she is going to sell, what's going to be the work of that particular company in advancing its particular cause. There are a number of business models, and you can choose any business model you want to when you're setting up your own business. But I believe that the greatest business model that you can use in the mission field is that model that has already been given to us through God's written word. This work came about as an organic kind of work. This is nothing that was planned. And if I had had my own wishes granted, I would have never been part of this particular effort. The work in Africa, I'm sure that there are a number of preachers who would do things quite differently from the way that I'm doing things. But this is the business model, the Bible business model, that I believe worked best for me. And I'll try to give you some examples. The lessons that we preach, all of our lessons are somewhere centered around the one faith. They're centered around the Lord's church. They are centered around making sure that the hearer understands that the things that we're saying is not in agreement with most of the religious world, because most religions believe that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in Jesus. Well, I'm sort of like the dung beetle. There's a dung beetle that's in the jungle, and when the elephants and all of the other animals take care of their physical business, the dung beetle, he comes along and he rolls it up and he disposes it in such a way, this is the waste, in such a way that the environment continues to recycle and continues to remain clean. Religiously, we clean up the mess that many of the denominational people are spreading in the regions where we go. And we have found it necessary to make a distinction between the Church of Christ and all other religious groups. Here we are in a sort of a politically correct setting. Well, there, it is improper to advance God's word by using politically correct methods. Of course, we want to be tactful, but there are plenty of times when you cannot be tactful and say those things that God has given us if we are to advance his word to a people who do not yet know him as the one who is able to save man from sin and to set his soul free. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16, this is an old familiar verse, I'm sure, to many of us. And I'm going to just expound on it for just a few moments so you can understand the direction of all of our messages that we preach and teach in Malawi. We don't get deep, those deep things that many highly educated preachers do. We don't do that in Malawi. Our audience is an audience who is open to hear God's word. They're open because they have an interest in seeing what makes this particular religious group different from all of the religious groups that we've heard in times past. And God has blessed our effort because of that. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. So Jehovah says, stand in the ways and see. And as for the old paths, where the way is good, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah goes on to say that the Lord said, but they said, we will not walk in it. Every lesson, I believe, to a non-Christian in the mission fields where we operate, we need to be talking to them about their soul. Many of them understand what African tradition is all about. We're trying to explain to them that your tradition, will not enable you to have eternal life in the world to come. That those loved ones whom you are close to right now, that if they are not Christians, you will never see those loved ones again after death. And if you love them, you will share this message. This is the everlasting message of truth with them. And I think because of that and because of other reasons, God has been very good to us. Now, I'm going to get into a slide presentation in just a few moments. But I want you to understand that we're living in a country where everything is instant. In America, this is perhaps the only country on the face of the earth, I believe, where it's not necessary for you to live under dogma. This is for you to live at the conclusion of somebody else's thinking. I don't know of another country in the world where you may be born in poverty, but your birth will have very little to do with your rise in society. I don't know of any other society that offers that particular opportunity. So Americans view things differently. I want to tell you there's one thing that I have learned in preaching the gospel in Malawi, is that those people who have an opportunity to advance your cause on your behalf will do very little for you if we go in with the mentality of the American, or even sometimes the ugly American. This is that we are in charge. In Africa, the chiefs are in charge. There may be three or four different levels of chiefs. And those men and sometimes women, depending on how you respect their position, that they will advance your cause or they will cut you off at the knee. So I want to tell you, it's important that we understand who our subjects are. And you're not in America anymore. When I'm there, I'm in Malawi. I am a Malawian, and I'm trying my very best to advance the cause of Christ to my Malawian subjects. In 2011, I think it was October 5th, Steve Jobs died. And Steve Jobs, none of us have to give a long dissertation on him. We all know who he was. He was a guy who really got Apple computers, you know, moving forward. And Steve Jobs, on his deathbed, his sister recorded his last words. His three last words were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow." I believe that at that point, Steve Jobs' present came in contact with his future. And he saw certain things that he was not prepared for. And I think it is duty-bound upon us as Christians that we teach the world that there are certain things, regardless of how educated you are, regardless of how much money you have. At death, there's an equalizer. At death, you're going to have to stand before God on your own. It's not going to be with this particular religious group. It's not going to be depending on what the preacher said, but we're going to have to depend on what has been written in the book of life and how we have lived our life in conjunction with the written word of God. Some good things have happened to us there, and I just want to share a few things with you. We've been blessed to see certain things that I don't think many people will see in their lifetime. For example, the prison system that we are blessed to work in, the Maola prison system in Lilongwe, Malawi, is perhaps one of the most notorious prisons in the world. There we were able to share the gospel with a gentleman from Rwanda who has been convicted of killing between 800 and a million, 800,000 and a million people. You don't get opportunities like that every day. And in a prison setting like Maola, most of the people who are entering into that setting will most likely never come out, especially those who are in the maximum security part, but to be able to share God's word. Now, About 2 years ago, the warden came in from another one of the major cities, and he was a Christian. And through working with the prison, this particular warden, he granted us some property that we can build the Church of Christ on inside of the my older prison system. And that church can be established long after we have gone from this earth. And I think, you know, why is this happening to us? It's happening because our Lord has blessed us, I believe, to see certain things that many people have gone and observed. But because of who we are, because we are Americans and we are the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, we have a tendency to forget that we are ambassadors for Christ. I believe also that the Bible is written in a certain way. And when our Lord asks us to rightly divide his word, that there are certain ways that these scriptures can be opened up so that the hearer can understand what is being said by them. There are a number of things that change in society. For those of you who are familiar with our country and our last president, he introduced homosexual marriage. And in doing so, many people were afraid to speak against that. But this is something that if we're going to preach the gospel, we have no choice but to speak against things that are ungodly. 6,000 years or so, an institution that God had had implemented in the Garden of Eden. Along comes a dusty-eyed politician, and he makes an announcement to the nation that now we are going to formally put our stamp of approval on these kind of relationships. And I say you have to call these things out exactly the way they are. One day, he's going to have to answer to God for that. But these are certain things that you have to understand. They must be preached. Paul says, if you're going to be a gospel preacher, if you're going to preach for our Lord, there are certain things that you must preach as a gospel preacher. Culture does not decide what we preach. The decisions made in the halls of government do not determine what we preach. What the city council decides does not determine what we preach. Those things that come out of Hollywood and Bollywood and all of the other media aspects, they do not determine what God's truth is. The fact of the matter is that God's truth never changes. And it doesn't matter who is in charge in the halls of government. It doesn't matter what king is sitting on the throne. God's truth do not change. God's truth was the same 10 years ago. They were the exact same 100 years ago. God's truth was the exact same 500 years ago. And 6,000 years ago, God's truth were still righteous. This afternoon, I'd like to begin showing you a quick slide presentation, and I'd like to do two, and I'm going to try to make them as quick as possible. The first one, I believe, has about 32 slides, and the second has about 28. The 32 slide presentation primarily deals with what we're currently doing now, and I want to try to hurriedly get through it, but if you have some questions and you'd like to ask them, we'd be more than happy to try to accommodate you with answers as best we can. Let me advance this. Okay, this is the Malawian flag. And for those of you who don't know this gentleman to my right on the screen, his name is James Mboi Nyando. James was a Christian who was introduced to me by Sister Yvonne Graham. And this guy and I became best of friends. And he was running for political office in Malawi. He was perhaps the most noted politician ever in that particular country. and the people in Washington, D.C. was hopeful that he would become the president, a well-educated man. Unfortunately, God had other plans, and for those of you who knew him, because he visited America often, and he would come and worship with us on most of his times when he had a Sunday available here in the Huntsville area. He died July 17, 2015. And 2 days before his death, he and I were speaking, and I was in America. He was in the hospital in Pretoria, South Africa. He said, "You know, Larry, nobody ever comes from the West and go to the villages to preach the gospel of Christ. And you have people out there who only know the traditions of their fathers." And he says, besides that, the chiefs, these people are in charge of preserving the father's tradition. Could you imagine going in and teaching those guys the gospel? And I didn't think much about it. I heard it. But after his death, it just started resonating in my mind. And I thought, you know, I can't just live with this. I've got to do something about it. So I made the decision to go to Malawi. And then later on, and a few years later, Hughes Rose started working with us in that particular area. This is one of the Churches of Christ in an area which is outside of the city limits of Lilongwe. I spend very little time actually in the city, because I find the city in the cities in Malawi to almost be like the cities are here. People have very little time for our Lord. This I was asked to come here, come to this particular congregation, I think on a Thursday, and then they had assembled a couple of adjoining congregations to come in here, hear our word, and we were preaching at that point on some aspects of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And the next place we actually went to, the building could not accommodate all of those who came to hear, so we actually sitting on the outside of that particular building. This is a smaller building, which is adjoining Mozambique. And we've had, and again, this is strictly by accident, I guess you would say, or even by coincidence. Normally when we go and have the luxury of preaching at a congregation, there's a certain method that we would use. The first thing is to show those chiefs that you respect them. And we try to do that. We made two trips into this area before we actually sat down with the higher authority chiefs. And we were told that in this particular region, there were some 10,000 people between Malawi and just the edges of Mozambique, which is where this particular village was located. We had an opportunity to preach the gospel. There are really about four of us who work at this task. I have an interpreter. There's an interpreter who works with me with children. There's also Dominique who works with me in almost any other area. I have Shadrick Nyando, which is James Nyando's brother, who works with me on the side of security. Once we sat down with the chiefs, we found the main chief. He told us, he said, "No, sir, we don't have 10,000 people in this village." He said the last census was the 2017 census, and we had just over 10,000 families. So that made a big difference. So you're talking about anywhere between 100 and 150,000 people in that particular region. I made mention of this to someone here in America, and they said, "Where are they worshiping now?" Well, they're worshiping in a very small building. And, you know, it was suggested, let us buy some land and think about what would happen in the future. So they donated money. We have purchased the land, and the land is going through the deed process with the federal government. So we hope to build a building and a residence for a preacher here in this particular region. It's called Chirinjiza. This is putting down the markers for the property. And this is at another setting. we were asked to preach at a tent meeting, and a number of people obeyed the gospel. And I just want to show you that these people are walking now on their way to the river to baptize these people. Rarely do we have an opportunity to preach where someone doesn't obey the gospel of Christ. Now, the conditions that which some of our brothers live in, we wouldn't want our brothers living in such a condition if we could help them. And this is a dilapidated building. This is where our brethren meet. There's probably about 4,000 people in this particular region. And in this congregation, only about 40 or so people are in attendance. So I say that to say we have taken the responsibility upon ourselves to help mend situations like this. The rainy season is in effect. There was a congregation in the south, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, whose roof was inadequate, and the building in many ways were inadequate. Someone contributed money to put a roof on, so it was incumbent upon us to build the building up so that when the roof went on, that our brothers and sisters weren't swallowing it in heat, because the southern region can get as hot as 110 degrees on almost any given time. So I'm just going to rush through this. A couple of the churches have been very good to us in helping us advance the Lord's work in the village. This is the Mitundu Church. There are two elders at this congregation who've been very supportive of us. And from time to time, we'll go and we will preach to this congregation and to some other congregation in the immediate area. Again, preaching, and I think on this occasion, two people were converted to Christianity, and they're being baptized in a nearby area. We've had the privilege of going to South Africa, and this is the Durban Church of Christ, which is the heart of Zululand. On my trip over this past February, I spent 2 weeks in South Africa, and I had the privilege of actually speaking for this congregation in Durban, South Africa. I also spoke for Paul Williams. I think I did maybe a 10-day gospel meeting for Brother Paul Williams, who many of you all might know, Brother Stephen Williams' dad. There I was arrested for preaching the gospel. Now, this is staged, okay? Dr. Romine, he asked me, he said, Larry, can you get me some pictures? And he told me what the subject, and we went, and we went to the police department in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area of Durban, and they accommodated us. So I'm just going to quickly run through these are the two arresting officers here, and I hope and trust that the message that Dr. Romine preached was helped somehow by these props. Okay, now we're in the prison system now of Zambia. These two people, the one on the left, he is the private head of the entire prison system in Zambia, and to his right is his assistant. And I'll show you a little bit about this. Behind them is a brother from Birmingham. His name is Ken Craig. I asked Ken to come and visit me and to sort of observe the area and to sort of give me his opinion. But he came over once, and he told me, Larry, I pretty much see the potential that you see. So we made arrangements to go into Zambia and to go into the prison system. These two brethren, the two that are standing closest to Brother Ken Craig, they were members of a denominational church. And of course, we were riding with them for about 4 days. And at the end of those 4 days, both of these men were converted to Christ. Now, the gentleman in front of him, in front of these two men, he is a Church of Christ preacher in an adjoining city in Zambia, that's very close to the borders of Malawi. But I tell you that story to say we were able to go into the prison, and we were able to establish two different churches of Christ, I mean two different churches at two different locations within the prison system. And those congregations now have over 100 prisoners in each one. So our Lord has blessed our efforts even there. This is these two brothers, they were baptized, and that's the preacher in the middle. These are two young people that we met, and two of them were baptized into Christ that Sunday when we spoke. This is an event that happened after Easter of this year. This is in a place called the Kajuni Village. This is in the south region, about 7 or 8 hours from where we are now. The village chief, he assembled his subjects the day after Easter, and he allowed us to preach the gospel. This young man who you see here, he is the first person to come out and to be baptized into Christ. I spoke with the elders about it. I explained to them the issues we were having, and a lot of the issues had to do with a denominational group that was there. They basically strong-armed the chiefs, and we were causing issues for them. Again, to make a long story short, in just a little while, this brother was baptized, and it probably took us 5 or 6 hours to find enough water in that southern region in order to baptize this particular brother. As I go forward, let me go back here. The elders presented this to the congregation. You guys prayed about it. And I went back down to this region about 3 to 4 weeks later. On our next trip, we preached to a number of the same people, and there were some different people also who came. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 34 to 35 people who were baptized. So the Church of Christ was established in that particular village. Now, when that happened, people who were in adjoining villages heard about it, and they wanted to know more about it. So we started getting invitations to come into Mozambique and to come into different regions in the south and talk about this new gospel that nobody has ever heard of before. So wherever we go, we are being invited to go somewhere. There is more work to do than we will ever be able to do in this region. But the reason I tell you that is because if you use the Bible mandate, if you use the Bible system, if you use the business model that God has given us in the Bible, we are not going to have any issues in accomplishing what God wants us to do in foreign nations, I believe. I'm going to quickly advance this because I know I'm running out of time. This is another region in the city of Lilongwe that had been teaching some false doctrines. And I don't want to get into the entire process, but basically they were teaching that it is ungodly to lay flowers or wreaths at the grave of a departed soul. So we had to spend several weeks working with this particular congregation on that particular subject. This is in Mozambique. This is Stephen Cook, who the elders were very kind enough to allow him to visit us. And on this particular visit, we're preaching the gospel. I think this is my second visit to this particular region. And we had something in the neighborhood of 20-something people to become Christians. And this was in September. This particular congregation now has about 60 or so adult members in the Lord's Church there. Just another area where we had an opportunity to preach. I'm just going to hear. We were on our, this is Stephen and I again, we were on our way to Mozambique to preach. And the government would not allow us to cross the borders. And we said, well, you know, what can we do? We had some local brethren with us. We said, can you get some of the Christians together? And within an hour, there were about 100 Christians who came together, and allowed us to preach some specific topics from God's word. And for us, that was a beautiful thing. This, again, is back to the village in the south. This is the Kajuni village. This is the building that the chief has basically given to the Church of Christ. Of course, there's a thatch roof. All the thatch has been taken off. A rafter structure has been put in. The building itself has been raised. And this is all from the efforts and so forth of the Hughes Road congregation. Our money goes a long way in Africa. These are some of the supplies that are being brought in to accomplish that. And to our right there, that's the tent. We go in and we stay in our tents and we live with the people. Now, we bring our own food and water because I don't want anybody getting sick. And Shadrick is there for our security. But we have never had any issues at all when we visit the village setting. Now, on our way out of the country, about 4 days before we left, we had an appointment to go into Mozambique. And this is a different region of Mozambique. And I was told that I would be taking a boat across the Shiri River. And then from there, I'd be getting on a motorbike and then riding some distance to get to this particular remote village. Now, at best, I can tell you, this is no boat. Okay, this is not much more than a hollowed out log, okay? But the Lord bless us to cross this crocodile-infested river to preach the gospel and come back. I'll show you. Look how silly I look on the back of that. Big old me riding that little motorcycle. But hey, it was further than I was willing to walk, okay? All right. Now, this is what I was telling you, that in order to advance our Lord's cause, you have to sit down with the chiefs, and you have to Shadrach and Lazarus has already been to these chiefs and explained to them that we like to come in and to teach the gospel of Christ. We know that you have idols in this area, but we want to talk to you about the true gospel of Christ. Will you give us an opportunity to do that? So we sat down with the chiefs. I think we had four levels of chiefs here, and we explained to them what we're doing. Sometimes we make Bible presentations to them. We give them a Bible. We sign it from the Hughes Road Church of Christ. We date it and so forth, and we put the church's website and phone number inside those Bibles. And those guys are very proud because many of them will never be able to afford that kind of a Bible that we have presented to them. So we preach the gospel, and about 40 or so people become Christians here. So the Lord's church is established, and Lazarus, Dominique, and Shadrach go to this region now on a regular basis to preach the gospel to our new brothers and sisters in Christ. So far, we have seven churches of our Lord who have been established since we have been there, and we're very grateful for that. This is getting ready to head back over, and to in a few days, I was leaving, coming to America. Now, this is the end of this one, and I'm going to show you just a quick one. This is for the benefit primarily for those who have not been able to have seen this before, and for those of you who have, bear with us for just a moment. We had several brethren who were worshiping under this particular tree. This is called a monkey bread tree. And be that as it was, God was gracious to them. For almost 3 years, they worshiped under this tree, and it never rained one time during that particular service. So, of course, God has been good to them. When we got there, we were able to preach the gospel. We found there were, I think, 56 Christians who were there. And, of course, they had no building. And I don't even remember who I told, but the next thing I heard, this is us, our group, that I should go look for some land. And someone helped us, meaning Larry Vinson and the Hughes Road congregation, buy this piece of property. And once the property was cleared, we put down the markers here, And then we actually begin the building process that you see us working to set a footing so that we can start laying the foundation for the building. This is our raw materials that we use and our supplies. And I'm telling you, I know about inventory control. So I want to even know where the dust went. Okay? Don't waste my dust. I mean, that dust is important in the entire process. But I don't want a bag of cement or concrete or blocks or bricks or something, you know, going to somebody's, you know, hut. I mean, those things belong to the Lord's work. And of course, once we have done, then our brethren get control of the building. But we don't waste our resources. So that's why everything is numbered. Our bricks, our blocks, our stones are numbered by the grosses. When they bring in, they dump them. We know where the first load is, the second load start, and this kind of thing. So we are accustomed to keeping inventory controlled. All right, this is the start of the building process. You're going up, going up, going up. This is the baptistry. It's built into the foundation. Going up, going up, going up again. Top, okay. Whitewashing it. Okay, we have some little kids who come around from time to time. When I'm there, we were actually taking time to teach them. The church started off with about 56 people. I want to say this is about 130 or so people who are here. The congregation is now up to 230 members. And the day we had the building dedication, there were 788 people on the inside of that building, and on the outside, another 240 that were not able to get in, that were looking through windows and so forth. Okay, this is one of the political dignitaries who came to thank the church, which is Hughes Road, for helping with this particular project. This is the second person who was baptized in that particular building. We were unable to get there fast enough to get the first person who were baptized. Okay, now the mode of transportation, bicycles, and those who can afford it, motorcycles. If you see this little yellow and purple scooter, that was a donation that was given to us by someone out of, I think, Kentucky. And it was for one of our brethren who had lost a leg. And he was a preacher within the Church of Christ, and he was not able to get around. So they donated that, and they had us make the presentation to it. Okay? So that's basically what we have done over the last year or so, and besides, you know, sort of rewinding, so those who were not familiar with this work can see that the investment that that you have put in, I believe, have been the money has been well used to advance the cause of Christ. Of course, this is Hughes Road's money, but it's also my money. I mean, my own money has been going into this work since 2012. And God, I believe, has allowed us to do a lot of good things. I remember sitting down with the elders just before, and this is in my conclusion, sitting down with the elders just before I got ready to leave. And everybody was going around the table, and they were giving me a piece of advice. I got to Brother Maurice, and Brother Maurice said, "Now, I'm going to tell you, against my better judgment, I'm doing this." He said, "Because we believe that you have the ability, you know, to advance the cause of Christ." He said, "But normally, when you send, when you see a person going into another country, into the mission field, usually we send them out two by two." But I didn't feel like I was going into a foreign territory. I felt like I was going where I was known. James had taken me to a number of places. Once we went to visit some of his cohorts, and the city found out that he was there, and within an hour, there were 20,000 people or so there to listen to a word, political word, from our brother James Nyando. And I was there. So I felt like I was almost family, and I kind of now feel that way. For those of you who are not members of the Lord's Church, you may not fully understand what we're doing here. But the gospel is being advanced. And I believe that it is being advanced in ways that are not unique to the Bible. It may be ways that are unique to us, because a man has developed all kinds of schemes to advance his cause. But my belief is that if you deal and you stick with the business model, we will accomplish those things that our Lord wants us to accomplish in the same way that they were done in the very, very first century. If we have anyone among us this afternoon who is not a member of the Lord's church, you can be added to the one church that can be found in God's written word, the Bible, by hearing the word of God, by believing his word to be truth, by willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and then by being baptized in water to have your sins remitted. If you are a member of the Lord's church and your life had not been in keeping with the will of the Father, you come this evening by repenting of that sin, by confessing that fault, and by having prayer offered in your behalf. If we have anyone in either category this evening, please make your request known as we together stand and sing our song of encouragement. Shall we stand, please?